always amazed me about Doc Watson is his ability to play single note lines that most of us have to just put all of our concentration into while he's singing. If you listen to his cut on the Nashville, what is it called? The Good Deal record, the did in Nashville of the Streamline Cannonball. He's just going all over the place while he's singing, and that's just, it's that brain split thing that I'm just not sure how to. One day I'm gonna do that when I grow up. Any other questions? Yeah.
Let's say for someone who's young and starting to learn how to flat pick, do you have any? Can you demonstrate or recommend an exercise for the right hand and how to improve the picking?
Right. Well, you know, you're getting to the heart of the matter. You know, for in your words, a young person getting involved in this, I think whether you're young or old, you know, this style of guitar playing is a craft. You know, there's this blend of craft and art that we often look at. There's a certain, system, a methodology about this style of guitar playing that people can learn. And I would focus on three things as a beginner or somebody who's been doing this a while that wants to get better. You know, any athlete that you ask, what do you do, you know, if you feel like you're in a slump, if you've been doing this a while, if you're getting started, what do you work on as fundamentals? And the fundamentals to me of flat picking are negotiating, discovering, maintaining a good sound within a good groove. That affects the musicality. That's the craft part where, you know, there is a way to do this that ensures a certain kind of sound over time. And so those are the kind of things that I work on for me and what I teach. That's what I stress. And as far as specific exercises, a lot of very simple things. I like to sort of reduce challenge. You know, it's one thing just to, you know, fly through the whole tune and all the fretting hand challenges and string changing whatnots, but just to do this, you know, I'm getting multiple things out of that. One is I'm negotiating, trying to find a certain kind of note quality, like I said earlier. It's length. Notes have duration, not just fidelity. Short notes are, right, and the way I made it go short like that is tighten up the whole fundamental of the, you know, the mechanic there, the whole right wrist and arm. But when I relax and open that up, it improves the tone, right? So I'm focusing on tone with that. Also, I'm focusing on groove. There's a sense of pulse. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. And also know that every note is not even. It's not like a... That again, that's when I tense up a little bit, I can create more of an even thing. I don't want that. I want to be more musical with it. I want this sort of sway and ebb and flow to the quality of that note's dynamics. Right? It also works well for flat picking. One of the basic fundamentals of flat picking groove and you know, the metric side of it is eighth notes, one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four. And so I've negotiated a way to settle a movement that ensures a certain sound. And it's that core kind of realization of now sustaining that's the next trick, is how long can I do this before things start breaking down? I'm at a very manageable tempo, but if I'm faster, can I still get a note quality? Can I play in the groove with a sense of pulse? I have to, at this point, as I challenge that with speed, understand that in order to keep this relaxed, that realization that I had of what felt smooth, consistent, relaxed, I have to work on sustaining that at the faster tempo. And if I can't do that, then I'm going to break down. Again, it comes down to how long can I sustain that. So, you know, just from playing an eighth note stream on a G string, I can get lots of good challenge just right there. Because again, as that fundamental, that's the engine. If you were to open the hood of Blackberry Blossom, I'm out that I'm affecting a certain kind of dynamic within that groove. Again, I'm not looking for evenness, I'm looking for musical, what I call an inner dynamic of the thing. So that's what I like to start with. There are other specific exercises along that I feel are good to challenge that sense of where how the pick is moving. That eighth note stream kind of defines a certain down up, that oftentimes is challenged when you start syncopating or holding notes. But you notice my rhythmic awareness is still there, still very much alive. Rhythm connects all that opportunity for those good tones to be in their sort of rightful spot is my awareness of rhythm. And the more I settle, the more I relax in between those big beats with those subdivisions, the more I'm able to, hopefully, as I practice and build repertoire, build, again, that sort of sense of endurance, it all just becomes great. It's that easy. That's silly. There's a lot of work, and I don't mean to make it look easier than it really is. I mean, this when I'm playing, I'm still working on certain things too. I'm trying to negotiate those kind of fundamentals, or if I'm improvising, I'm trying to encourage that kind of focus and awareness, at least while I'm improvising, while I have no idea what I'm going to play next. Right. So again, as we start building back these challenges from here to exercises, there's one on my website that I encourage everybody to look at. It's just a little etude that I wrote. How many people in here play that way too much already? But it's a good thing, and it's a bridge between, you know, that kind of thing or other little pick pattern challenges and playing a tune. Again, I think the main challenge for a young player, an older player, is to settle in, try to, especially if you've been playing for a while, to try to retrain your technique enough to where you can achieve that kind of sound. I wouldn't want somebody to copy my right hand or try to copy my sound. With your hands on your guitar going for those same fundamentals, you're going to sound more like you, and that's good. We need to allow that. And then, again, what you work on is, do I feel that while I'm playing a song? If it's not there, there may be something within the song that's the challenge. So we get into all the fretting hand, jumping around, string changing, cross picking. But the more I can stay aware and negotiated with that nucleus of sound and feel, the quality of my music is better. And it ain't easy. A lot easier said than done. Yeah.
Along those lines, you have a very distinctive upstroke, almost an upward breaststroke. Is that something that you consciously developed?
It's not conscious. Again, when I am engaged in just trying to settle and feel, and really, you know, at a point, I got way deep just now into sort of the meta side of the flat picking, but not even as too much as I could have. But just what I'm getting at is there a point where things become unconscious? You have to allow that as part of the process. And as you encourage more challenge, you learn to focus on that challenge and try to trust this more. And as I've just gotten better over the years, I made some more of my specific technical strides when I was playing the Ricky Skaggs band, and knew that I could play fast, but it didn't feel musical to me, and so I was losing note quality, losing, you know, all kinds of stuff. So as far as the specific thing that I do, I know that there are certain pathways that I get on, say an upstroke that leads, or a pull-off that leads to an upstroke, that thing. That's just as a result of me trying to just keep everything in my, from the elbow down to the tips of my fingers, as relaxed but focused as possible. You know, you'll hear lots of people like me say, relax, slow down, but what does that really mean? We're still using muscle, we're still engaged in trying to do something specific. And within there, again, my hands are a specific size, this guitar, this string spacing, you know, all the little nuances we can get into, right? But ultimately, it's things like that occur, you know. Other things in my technique, if I play faster, I notice that everything gets a little flatter here. Where as I'm playing slower, I might have a little more angle of the wrist there. So some of that may be just as I'm trying to keep you know, the rotation part of the technique alive. If you see Doc play, he didn't do that. That was, again, if you look at, you're going to see different versions of this if you look at other players. His approach was a little more straight up and down, but so clean still. You know, he was just his balance of up and down versus, you know, more of a twisting kind of thing was more up and down like Sam Bush. We'll notice that immediately when you see Doc play versus somebody like Tony Rice or David Greer. So slight little changes in there, and I guess that to speak again, if you're new at this or trying to get better, try not to copy somebody else. These, you know, affectations can also turn into little tension creators, whether we want them to or not. Tony Rice makes his sound, and I want it. and sometimes I go for it, but it's oftentimes feel like it's, you know, again, it's, I tend to focus on that more than just trying to settle and do my own, make my own sound, trust that more. This pick here is a blue chip TP50 that I've kind of gravitated to more or less over the last year and a half to 2 years. I used the Wiegand bluegrass pick for a long time. I think it sell though at 1.5, and I had at 1.4, had him thin them out to 1.4. This is the TP50. I've tried some other, I kind of get a little bit into my own little neurosis with picks. I have generally have about a, on a music stand, if I'm on a recording session, about 25 or 30, various, mainly because I'm going for different sounds, possibly for different songs, but for flat picking and playing bluegrass, I found that this is the most consistent. I didn't like these at first, they felt a little cluttery compared to the Wiegands, but kind of gravitated to this at this point. I like it, and so I'm not sure the material, some kind of plastic-based sort of thing. Ultimately, with a pick, I want to not think about it. That's, if I'm conscious of a pick, then it's going to be in my way. It's sort of like a pair of shoes or having a rock in your shoe. You don't think about your shoes when you're just out walking around, but if for some reason you're thinking about, well, that's tight or that's weird or that's too loose or there's something in there, it's causing a blister on the back of my ankle, then I'll go change. What's that, play another?
Shut up.
Do I ever lose a pick? Yeah, occasionally I drop them, and I don't lose a pick on stage or playing, but I will drop it sometimes. It's rare, but I definitely lose them. They just sort of show up gone some days. Let's see here. Our title of our little stop here is Flat Picking and Beyond. This is a little bit of the beyond. Ever since I started doing a lot of session work in Nashville, I've not necessarily worked on it, but just had to learn how to do this sort of hybrid thing where I'm playing with a pick and fingers. When Doc was finger picking, he would use a thumb and a thumb pick and a finger pick. But I like the option of going back to from the flat picking to the finger style with that kind of sound. But here's a tune that this guy named Jeffrey Folcott wrote from Texas.